भगवद गीता और द डिवाइन सॉन्ग. गीता मीन्स दैट विच इज संग एंड भगवत मीन्स गॉड, अ सॉन्ग संग बाय गॉड हिमसेल्फ. इवन अदरवाइज ऑल्सो वी लाइक सॉन्ग्स. म्यूजिक इज लाइक बाय मोस्ट पीपल एंड the song sung by none other than God, how great it would be. So this is a song that brings also the illumination to us that removes all the problems that we are facing in this life and takes life to the ultimate goal. This brings religion to the actual life to work. This is religion that guides us towards the goal of life. The religion that is sometimes followed, that of getting caught into various rituals, different forms, different socio-political allegiances, that is only a superficial aspect of religion. There we have then the names which sometimes occur, like representing various warring groups, like somebody belongs to Islam, somebody belongs to Buddhism, somebody to Hinduism, somebody to Judaism, somebody to Christianity. And people get caught into the different names representing various rituals, different forms associated with it. But the real purpose of all these different religions is to make us aware of our inner divinity and show us how to manifest that divinity in all our actions. We are infinite. That is why we crave for infinite. We don't like limited. If we are asked that how much happiness do we want in life, we won't be able to put a limit to it. Only this much, unlimited. How much knowledge do we want? Can we put a limit? Only this much? No, infinite. Why so? Because our real nature is not limited by this little body. It is far more than that. And that is what is our real search in life. The purpose of religion and all the scriptures is to guide us that how we will be able to realize it and manifest it. That is where it becomes then fulfilled. The scriptures are auspicious, they are holy, but holy doesn't mean that you keep them in shrine and worship those with sandal paste, and Hindus do like that, we do a lot like that. A holy scripture, say Bhagavad Gita, what we will do with Bhagavad Gita, that take that book, put in the shrine somewhere and apply sandal paste and water and put a flower and do salutation to it. That is not the purpose of them. Do we take trouble to open it, read it, understand it and implement it? That is the purpose of it. So this we had been studying, that how Arjuna understood the message of Krishna to some extent, but a doubt came. He is the disciple who is like all of us, a representative of us, is feeling lot of grief, suffering, pain in this life, and like all of us wants to get rid of it. The question of Arjuna in the beginning is not about God. It is about our mundane, commonplace trouble, that I am in grief, in depression, I don't feel like living. What is this? Please take me out of this. And this is a common problem, sometimes expressed, sometimes not so well expressed by us. And he takes refuge in Krishna for this purpose. Oh Lord, take me out of this mire. And Lord analyzes the problem, puts forth it before Arjuna and tells him that it is practicable. You can practice this in life. It is not an intellectual concept. This is again a very important message of Bhagavad Gita that we have to understand, that religion is not theorization. It is not also just some concepts that we believe in. It is a matter of practical implementation in life. The truths mentioned herein are intensely practical. So, Krishna has shown Arjuna that what I told as a matter of intellectual understanding. Intellectual understanding is good, it is necessary. But it is, one has to then implement it. Having just intellectual understanding that yes, I understood that in Africa there is that beautiful animal sanctuary and one can go into those national parks there and it is such a fun, you get so much of knowledge, but well, just reading about that will not be enough. You have to actually travel, get there, see those things, then you get the fun of it. So reading, knowing about it is just the first step. Then comes the next step, and that is to learn to implement it. So Lord Krishna exhorts Arjuna to implement that. Arjuna, like most of us, want that let the knowledge come to me and then let all my troubles, especially these troubles which are there because of my works, let those troubles be gone. Most of our troubles are, we source them or we see that they are sourced in some works. I was fine, but when I go to work, it is full of problems. Even at home, when I am just alone, then I don't feel that many problems. But my wife or my husband or my this, such a big trouble. They don't let me in peace. So, if I come to that state where I may go in solitude and think of the blessed self, all-pervading, infinite, and I will be in the Buddha state, I will be completely free from all problems, how nice it will be. Well, friends, it is never that simple. It is another delusion that we feel. And therefore, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, you have to work. You have to do your duty. And if your duty is to fight war, you have to do that. It is the work, whatever duty we have, that is to be done meticulously. with our whole heart put into it, and yet being detached. The great lesson that was given to Arjuna, karmanyeva adhikaraste, your authority or your jurisdiction is doing the work. But you have no right on the results. The results are determined not just by your work. There are so many other factors involved in the results. So, results you cannot claim. Don't therefore aspire for them. By aspiring for results, you generate a bondage around you. You thus bind yourselves. Our desires for particular results, they create bondage around us. Nobody else. Society does not bind me. The circumstances do not bind me. My desires for the results of work, they create this terrible bondage for me. I get a desire, let me go and eat ice cream. Desire is simple enough. And then I do work out of that desire. I will get lot of pleasure by eating ice cream. That is my feeling. So, somehow by some efforts, I get ice cream. Then I eat it. Now, this much was work. I expect the result, pleasure of it. Pleasure, that doesn't come. Very little of it appears on the surface. While I was gulping it down from my this throat region, there I felt a little bit sensation, and that was gone, leaving the craving behind as it was. The craving did not subside. Craving, in fact, became more. So, again, now I get the desire. That desire doesn't go. It becomes now a bondage. Now that keeps on making me work and work and work like a slave. No freedom. So, it is, this is the nature of our bondage, that we aspire for results. Thus, those results, they become a bondage on us. They make us work. We cannot work with freedom then. We feel and we are free. All of us feel that we are free. I can do whatever I want. It would have been so nice had we been. But are we? We are bound. In fact, a neurologist told me, you know, Swami, we are programmed. We are programmed to feel that we are free. What a contradiction. It is a matter of program that you keep on feeling that you are free. Although you see that you are bound from of all sides, yet you feel the sensation that you are free. It is the bondage that one has to get rid of, and the path goes through this intense work while not aspiring for the results of them. Work intensely, but don't aspire for the results. And then Lord Krishna tells that one gets established in wisdom. This wisdom then covers the whole life. In this state of wisdom, then there is no possibility of delusion. The last verses of the second chapter glorified this state of wisdom. and told that this is something one can attain here and now. This is a practical religion. It does not tell you, that you will get something after you die. Here and now, Triveni, here and now. You get this wisdom here and now and get illumined, become free. Not as our Swami Ranganathananji in his book writes, that Vedanta does not promise you a post-mortem heaven. It is here and now. It is not after you die you go to some silly heaven or whatever. It is you get liberated. You become like Jesus right here. You become like any illumined person right here. So Arjuna was told that once you come to this state of knowledge, Esha Brahmi Sthiti Partha Nainam Prapya Vimuyati Sthitvasyam Antakalepi Brahma Nirvanam Richati. A wonderful glorification of this state of knowledge. Yes, Arjuna, when you get to this state, then no more delusion. No more all the sufferings that come as a result of this delusion. Established in this knowledge, then your life comes to fulfillment, come to the ultimate goal, where from there is no going down. There is no losing that anymore. The results that we get, they all come and go, but the result of this knowledge, this experience is such that once you get it, that's it. It is, it will never go away. So Arjuna was very happy to hear that, but at the same time, feeling morose, rather dejected, and somewhat angry too. And that is expressed in the beginning of the third chapter. Third chapter is titled as Yoga of Action. Every chapter of Bhagavad Gita is titled as Yoga. And the title contains this word Yoga, because that is the purpose. Yoga means bringing the knowledge into practical function. That is yoga. So, the yoga of action, the second chapter was a yoga of knowledge. The third chapter is yoga of action. And it begins with this query, very natural query of Arjuna, that I feel confused, Lord, that you are telling me all contradictory things. How the third chapter begins with this verse, Arjuna asks the question to Lord Krishna, Jayasi Chet Karmanaste Mata Buddhir Janardana Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam Niyo Jayasi Keshava. He Keshava, O Lord, that you have been telling me the glory of this knowledge. In your opinion, you have clearly described that this state of knowledge is highest. And yet, for me, you have been repeatedly telling to get involved into action, which is terrible. The action is a bondage. Even ordinary actions, you say, they are bondages. And the action that you tell me to get into is this action of war, fighting. So why this? Arjuna has been told in the second chapter very specifically, Tato Yuddhaya Yujyasva, come on, battle, fight, that don't worry even if you are killed in the battle, Hatova Prapsasi Swargam, Jitvava Bhokshase Mahim, that maybe even if you are killed, don't worry, you will go to heaven. If you survive and win the battle, well, you will get the kingdom. So, fight. And also told, if you don't fight, it will be disastrous. So, from both sides, Arjuna has been exhorted to do this action. And at the same time, the state of the knowledge has been glorified. And Arjuna sees that they are not compatible. The question wouldn't have arise that if both these things can be done simultaneously, the state of knowledge and this action. In the mind of Arjuna, this knowledge means all the actions must be stopped. I should be sitting in the meditation posture and that all my concentration and samadhi and like that. No action. So he sees that the contradiction therein. If the two things told which are compatible, you don't see the opposition in that. You can do both of them. Like if anybody, nobody can ask this question, Swami, are you sitting or talking? There is no question of or. I am sitting and talking. Yes, I am sitting and talking, doing both. I won't ask this question if somebody told that talking is very good and all that and you sit. Then can I ask this question? Hey, you told me that speaking is very nice and all that and you tell me to sit. Well, where is the contradiction? Sit and talk. Both can be done simultaneously. But in the mind of Arjuna, it is like telling, go to east and go to west. Cannot be done simultaneously. Your very fact of going to east means you are going away from west. So, being established in knowledge has been glorified by Lord. Then why he is telling me to get involved into these terrible actions? How bad one will feel. Shankaracharya in his commentary beautifully explains that it is like this, that you are my friend, my teacher, I respect you and I consider you to be my savior. And what do you do to me? You tell me what is great, but to me you suggest to go by a wrong path. Why so? Go to a physician who you consider your friend, someone who is going to guide you to good health. That physician tells you, here is a great potion. If you take this potion, you will become immortal, wonderful. But I am not going to give you this. Here is poison. I am giving you this. How will you think of, what will you think of such a physician? You will certainly feel anger in your mind. You will question that. So that is how Arjuna's question is, that on the one hand, you tell me that by knowledge you will get liberated by actions according to your own description, and they lead to bondage if not done properly. You'd say that do it in a detached manner, but how difficult it is to get to do it detached way. We always feel that yes, maybe the detached action is a way to get there, but is it not so difficult to do the action and be detached? Why do it in the first place then? Would it not be good that to say that suppose your hands, they are clean. Now, to tell that now, soil them, put them in the drain, and then take some soap and wash them, and then that would be fine. It is like that. Why get into the work, get all soiled, get caught in the bondage, and then think of getting liberated from it? It is so difficult to do work in a detached manner. And try. It is easier said than done. The attachment, the desires, they somehow come. Even in very wise people, it is not easy to be working in a detached manner. It is, one has to keep on doing this practice for a long time. But if we see that there is an easy way, that yes, know the truth, and don't do any work. Yes, I am the infinite, I am the omnipresent, I am the omniscient, I am the omnipotent, I am the Lord. And then, even this thought won't last for more than 30 seconds. So, it is not easy to implement that. It is the state of this wisdom. If it is real wisdom, it will remain even if you are dealing with people. This state of wisdom automatically, this state of wisdom will make you bless those who oppress you. Compare this with our reactions. Not let alone somebody who causes troubles or oppresses us, even the person who disagrees with us, we become so angry. It is our situation is like that how much involved in different actions we become. And so, acting without attachment is not easy, and we try to find out an easy way out. So we feel, let me just give up all actions. So no actions, no question of doing them in a detached manner either, because doing actions in detached way is difficult. But if I don't do actions at all, then that will solve the problem. So why this Lord Krishna, whom I thought as my friend, philosopher and guide, is showing me the great, nice, highest peak of realization, and is not taking me there? He tells me to get involved into these terrible works. So he says, you are confusing me. Then tell me exactly one. Next verse, Lord Krishna tells to Arjuna that I heard these things from you. Both these your statements sound very confusing. So tell me one of them. Vyamishreneva vakyena buddhim mohayasiva me tadekam vadanishchitya yena shreyoham apnuyam. That tell me one don't confuse me by telling that this is great and this is this. Which path should I take? It is, you say you glorify the knowledge and then tell me to do work. That also, both these things you tell me. So I feel confused. That tell me that by which Shreyo Ham Apnuyam, Aham, I will get to the ultimate good of life. Shreya is a very beautiful word. Shreya means that which ultimately is the right and good for us. For a person, there are these two things. Something is liked and something is right or good. So, the liked is called priya in Sanskrit. So, we become for that instant a little bit happy when what we like is presented by someone. Yes, I like it. But that may not be right or ultimately good for us. So, the other thing, that what is right, what is going to bring the good for me. So that is called Shreya. So Arjuna asks that, tell me one by which I will attain to the ultimate good. Now Arjuna is confused. That yes, it is, Lord has told me something, two different things. Now I don't understand what to do. Confusing statements. So, he feels this confusion between work and knowledge. And he rightly feels so, because commonly the basis of all our work is ignorance. So, knowledge does not allow us to work at all. So, work assumes ignorance. When can I work? Just think of it. How do I work? And let us give this nice exercise to our minds. That how do I work? How people see the body working or even the mind thinking. But behind that, what is there? A sense of I separate from the world. And then this I feels the desires. The desires is also really because of the intrinsic oneness. Why there is a desire for something? And desire means you feel that you don't have it. And you want to be one with it. Why? Because really there is oneness. Really there is no separation at all. So you, as it were, the desires are indicative of this psychological truth that you don't like this distinction. You do not want a separation. If there is no separation, you have no desire. And what you already possess as yours, you don't desire it anymore. That which you don't have, for that the desire arises. That, do you ever get desire, let me have one nose? It is silly, you know, that you have a nose and you certainly don't want another one to crop up. So, it is, even though we sometimes are nosy, and nosy is to such an extent that as if it would have been nice to have a few more. So it is, but because we already have it, we don't get a desire for that which we already have. The desire comes for that which we don't have. And feel the distinction, I and that is separate. Where that distinction is felt pinchingly, the desire becomes that more prominent in life. The less pinchingly the distinction felt, the less strong is the desire. More pinchingly, more is the intensity and the work that one does for that desire. It is, and then that desire gets manifest in activity in one's life. So, when there is no that idea of distinction, then there is no possibility of desire, and then there is no possibility of work either. So the knowledge removes this ignorance that I and world are separate. And therefore, in that state of knowledge, there is no work possible. And thus Arjuna sees a clear contradiction between the state of knowledge and our work. So he believes that if I go into these works, I will get bound more and more. My ignorance will perpetuate more and more. There is no way I will become free. So, first I have to get rid of work. In fact, that was also the beginning of Arjuna's state as described in Bhagavad Gita, that he wants to get rid of this terrible work, run away from it. Even when he says to Lord Krishna that, please, I am your disciple, I take refuge in you, I don't see any other way of coming out of this terrible mire I am stuck in. But even while presenting this attitude of disciple of surrender, he doesn't forget to tell Lord Krishna, while I will do whatever you say, I am not going to fight. He makes it quite clear to Lord. Oh, well, when you already have decided, then why you want an advice? Some go to the doctor that with the full idea that they know what best is for them. Why they go for, is the question first of all. They go to give advice to doctor. And then if the doctor tells do this, they tell I am not going to do that. Okay, then the doctor gets his fee, that's all. He doesn't come to any loss by you are not doing it. It is so. This is what a common person doesn't want to hear, what he does not agree with, and yet wants illumination. See the fun involved in this. We want to stick to ignorance. If our opinions are if they are right, if what we feel or think is correct, then there is no need of further knowledge for you. It is when you seek further knowledge, what does it mean? Your understanding is going to change. What you thought now or what we are thinking now to be right is going to be changed. What you think wrong now will also become different. That is how the knowledge comes. The teacher teaches means what is being done there in the process of teaching. If the student knows something and teacher is telling that student that very thing, what is the use of going to the teacher? It is, you already knew that, so you didn't learn anything new from the teacher. The teacher is useless there. If the teacher tells you that does not make any sense to you at all and does not create any impact in you, still that is useless. It doesn't serve any purpose for you. So that teaching also useless. And the teacher and the student, they have different positions, they remain different. the knowledge did not really flow at all. So, if it is like you have your pipe connected to the reservoir water pipe and water would come to you, but if there is a block in the pipe, then the water, you won't get the water of the reservoir. The pipe is there, water is there, but there is this block. Many times, more often than not, our minds have such a block that we go to learn, but with that kind of understanding that we feel that this is right and I am not going to give up this idea. Well, then you are putting a block there. The most of the times we have our pet ideas and we keep on sticking to them, not because they are right but because they are ours. It becomes like a habit, and that is the worst kind of attachment, most subtle, most deep rooted. The external physical attachments are easier to overcome. But this attachment to my pet idea, if I think that this is right, then I loathe to part with it, even when I learn that my idea was not correct. I loathe to admit it. I don't like to say, yes, I am sorry, I was wrong. Somehow or other, by hook or crook, I will try to prove that no, I was right and you were wrong. It is this attachment to the ideas, a very big block in our getting education. The education comes only when we are ready to say bye-bye to ignorance. I want to hold on to ignorance and still want to get knowledge. Incompatible. So, this resistance is always there to the incoming knowledge. Incoming knowledge is resisted by the existing ignorance there. And therefore, Arjuna has that opinion that this work is terrible. I am not going to get involved into work. So, any suggestion by Lord that work is the thing that is required by you is going to be seen as hostile. So, when Lord glorifies the state of knowledge, Arjuna leaped at it. This is what I want. And this works, I already knew. Did I not tell you right in the beginning? Lord, remember, I had been telling you what are the terrible effects of this work of war. And I don't want to get involved into it. I want peace, not war. This is... So why you want to put me into this? Now Arjuna's confusion is there, but Lord doesn't have any confusion. So Lord now wants to illumine Arjuna. Here comes a big now psychological issue. The knowledge is not something only written in the book and you read and you get it. No, it is not that simple. There is a block in the mind that is resisting the incoming of knowledge. Now that block is to be removed. So, one has to work now in a psychologically efficient way. How this block can be dissolved. So, Lord Krishna does not say, hey, you fool, shut up. Because that would have probably intensified the block further. And it is to be, the things are to be dealt on the path of least resistance. that you should not unnecessarily take the path of confrontation and resistance, because that will unnecessarily waste lot of energy. That is the principle that is followed in all the engineering and all the skills. You take the path of least resistance, even when a barber is, say, shaving the head, has to see how the that grain of the hair is, so that the razor moves without much resistance, and the fellow doesn't feel pain. If the razor goes against the grain of the hair, then not only the hair will not get properly cut, the pain will be felt. So and then it is the customer will go away, hey, this is not the barber I want. So even in everything you should have this approach, the path of least resistance. So it has to be a path, not just least resistance, don't do anything and no resistance. It has to be a path. It has to take you where you need to go. So here comes a beautiful answer by Lord Krishna about this, that, you know, this path of action is a graded course. The course means always graded. The path means there will be stages. If you want to, say, drive from here to Boston, and there will be some stages. Yeah, you will first take this lane and that lane, then meet highway, then pass through various other towns, and thus gradually, in a matter of, say, hour or so, it is you will reach there, depending on many other factors. So our life also is to be made a journey, journey, not just roaming about. The living a human life is not a life of roaming about, but life is journey. And the difference between roaming about and journey is, you all know, a journey has a destination. And that, yes, I want to get there. A directed effort is there. Roaming about, okay, anywhere we can go, come back, just matter of some exercise, that's all. So our efforts are to be directed. So there has to be the right path leading to the ultimate goal. Path has these two ideas again associated with it. One end of the path should be where you are, and the other end where you want to go, is it not? And when you get, for example, directions for traveling from, say, MapQuest or something, you have to give from where you are right now, and then to where you want to end, the beginning and end. So the path should begin where you are and should end where you want to reach. So Arjuna is now being told that, look, Sri Bhagavan Vach, the illumination comes. I think the time is now not there to discuss this beautiful verse. That there are, so we shall take that Lord Krishna's answer in the next class. This is, today we discussed the questions of Arjuna. So the answer, you can, in the meanwhile, you have 1 week of time before we meet, you can think of the possible answer that Krishna can give. Right now, if you have some questions or some comments, if you want amplification or simplification of some of the things that we discussed, you can ask that. Oh, so you are very good at understanding. So we shall conclude with the closing prayers. This closing prayer is a very nice one, that it tells that you should make this Bhagavad Gita as a scripture that is to be implemented. It should be heard properly and should be spoken of properly. And Gita Sugita Kartavya. And the literal translation, and in a limited sense, it will only mean this, that it should be chanted nicely. But chanted nicely, this prefix Su in Sanskrit has a really wide scope. It means that it should be sung not only by your lips, but your life, every action of yours should sing this song. This song must become your life. Gita Sugita Kartavya. And if you do it, then what will happen? Then you won't need to study thousands of scriptures. Kim anyat shastra vistarehi. And what is the speciality of this Bhagavad Gita? Ya svayam padmanabhasya mukha padmadvine srita. The Lord Himself has spoken this. This has come out of from the mouth of Lord Himself. So, just to get rid of the doubts that this may have some mistakes or... No! This is the song of God, which is full of illumination, full of wisdom. So, this is what we need. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvine Srita. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyani Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.